Hi, welcome to VLectures. We would be entering into Chapter 6, which is Development Banks of Banking Fundamentals. We have seen the various categorization of commercial banks into public sector banks, your private sector banks, your foreign banks, and your cooperative banks. But then what are these development banks? That's what we are going to study. But before we enter into the development banking, let's understand the meaning of a development bank. In your book, there are four types: the IFCI, the IRBI, the IIBA, and the SIDBI. We are going to see the full forms and what they mean in the present context. This chapter tells you about your various development banks and the services provided with them. What are development banks? Development banks are specialized financial institutions. What do you mean by specialized financial institutions? They provide medium and long-term finance to the industrial and agriculture sector, which may not be in the reach of your commercial banks because of restrictions on the lending limits per borrower, lending limits for a sector. They provide finance to both the private and the public sector. They are a multi-purpose financial institution. They do the term lending, investment in securities, and other activities as well. They even promote savings and investment habit in the public. If you want to see the definition of a development bank, we can say development banks are financial institutions established to lend finance on subsidized interest rates. Such lending is sanctioned to promote and develop important sectors like the agriculture, your industry, import and export, housing, and the allied activities as well. Your development bank started after the World War II, lots of destructions all over, and lots of developing efforts were required. Hence, development banking started after the World War II. It provided finance to reconstruct the buildings and industry which were destroyed in the war. So a lot of money was required to rebuild, refurbish the economy, and that's where the development banking played a vital role. If we want to see a broader classification of development banks, that is what is shown in your present slide. Development banks in India started after independence, and their arrangement is depicted in the following diagram. Basically, it can be classified into industrial development banks, example your IFCI, IDBI, and the SIDBI, your agriculture development banks, the best example is your NABARD, export-import development bank, the best example is your Exim Bank, and the housing development bank, the central bank, the apex bank for housing, which is the National Housing Bank in New Delhi. We'll discuss in the next chapter the NABARD, Exim, NHB, because they are the apex bodies and put separately in the next chapter. So we will discuss your NABARD, your Exim Bank, and the National Housing Bank in the next chapter. In this chapter, we are going to discuss more on your industrial development banks only. Let's go one by one, and we will first understand the various functions of the development banks before we go individually to the IFCI or the SIDBI or the IDBI or the ICICI. So let's see the main functions of the development banks. Development banks are classified, as shown in the previous slide, into industrial development banks, which are specializing in your industrial finance. The full form of IFCI given in this slide, Industrial Finance Corporation of India, the IDBI, the Industrial Development Bank of India, which was again reversed merged like your ICICI into IDBI Bank and the Small Industries Development Bank, which we popularly call as the SIDB. Your agriculture development banks, the National Bank for Agriculture and Rural Development, which we popularly call as the NABARD, your Export-Import Development Bank, which we popularly call as the Exim Bank, and finally, your Housing Development Bank, National Housing Bank, NHB, popularly called as. Until recently, two development banks were merged as a commercial bank, which were the Industrial Credit and Investment Corporation of India, merged with ICICI Bank in May 2002, and the Industrial Development Bank of India was incorporated as IDBI Limited in October 2004, as it was merged with IDBI Bank Limited. We are going to see what were the requirements of such reverse merger, why did it happen, when we come to individual slides of your ICICI and the IDBI in the future slides which we are going to see. Now let us see the functions of development banks. The topmost function is to promote and develop the small-scale industries, which are now called the MSME. The second function is to finance the development of housing sector. The third function, to develop the large-scale industries, which we popularly say the LSI, to help in agriculture and rural development, to enhance the foreign trade of India, to help to review or cure the sick industrial units which are turning into a non-performing asset, to encourage the development of Indian entrepreneurs, to promote the economic activities in the backward regions, to assist in the growth of capital markets. Having seen the functions of the development banks, let us go through it one by one. The first one, to help the small-scale industries. Development banks play an important role in the promotion and development of small-scale sector. Government of India started Small Industries Development Bank of India, which we are going to study as a development bank, to provide medium and long-term loans to the small-scale industries. SIDBI provides direct project finance and equipment finance to the small-scale industrial units. It also refinances banks and financial institutions that provide seed capital, equipment finance, etc. to the small-scale industrial units. Housing sector, very important for each and every citizen of our country. How is that going to get developed if there is no large-term finance provided to the builders? Development banks provide finance for the development of housing sector. The Government of India has started the National Housing Bank in the year 1988. National Housing Bank promotes the housing sector in the following ways. It promotes and develops housing and financial institutions. It refinances banks and financial institutions that provides credit to the housing sector. Then we move on to the large-scale industries, the LSI. Development banks promote and develop the LSIs. Development financial institutions like IDBI, IFCI, etc. provide medium and long-term finance to the corporate sector. They provide the merchant banking services specifically for raising the capital, such as preparing project reports, doing feasibility studies, advising on location of a project, and so on. A very important contribution towards the agriculture and rural development. Development banks like the National Bank for Agriculture and Rural Development helps in the development of agriculture. NABARD was started in 1982 to provide refinance to the banks which provide credit to the agricultural sector and also for the rural development activities. It coordinates the working of all financial institutions that provide credit to agriculture and rural development. It also provides training to agricultural banks and helps to conduct agricultural research too. Foreign trade, very, very top priority in the current scenario. the rupee shooting like a rocket, the current account deficit widening and widening. Both needs to be controlled, and the only solution lies in the foreign trade. Development banks helps to promote the foreign trade. Government of India started Export-Import Bank in 1982 to provide medium and long-term loans to the exporters and importers from India. It provides overseas buyer credit to buy Indian capital goods. It also encourages abroad banks to provide finance to the buyers in their country to buy capital goods from India. Review of SEC units. Development banks help to revive, or as we say, cure the SEC units. Government of India started Industrial Investment Bank of India to help these SEC units. We will see what happened to the Industrial Investment Bank of India shortly. IIB is the main credit and reconstruction institution for the revival of SEC units. It facilitates modernization, restructuring and diversification of SEC units by providing credit and other services. Entrepreneurship development, very important aspect when the unemployment rates are higher, specifically in our country. Self-employment is the best employment in such scenario. Many development banks facilitate entrepreneurship development, specifically NABARD, the SIDBI, the State Finance Corporation, provide training to the entrepreneurs in developing leadership and business management skills. They conduct seminars and workshops for the benefit of entrepreneurs so that they can acquire new skills and set up their own business and need not depend upon employment for their livelihood. The regional development. Only if the region develops, it can contribute to your economy. And that's how your development banks helps. It facilitates the rural and regional development. They provide finance for starting companies in the backward areas. Gujarat is the best example. They also helped the companies in project management in such less developed areas. Contribution to the capital market. Capital market booms on the basis of the foreign direct investments coming on the basis of growth expectations of the economy. Development bank contributes to the growth of capital markets. They invest in the equity shares and debentures of various companies that are listed on the stock exchanges of our country. They also invest in the mutual funds and facilitate the growth of capital markets in India. After discussing the main functions of a development bank, now we are going to study a development bank as a whole. Let's come up with the first development bank in our country, that is the Industrial Finance Corporation of India, IFCI. The IFCI had come up at a time of independence in 1947. Now, please go towards the post-independence era. We had discussed this when banking evolved in India. We had seen the scenario. We had just got independence and lots of planning efforts were put in to help the economy grow. And this was a time where long-term finances were not given by commercial banks. So how this could be met? That is what gave birth to IFCI. Let's see how. At the time of independence in 1947, India's capital market was relatively underdeveloped. Although there was significant demand of new capital, there was a dearth of providers. Merchant bankers and underwriting firms were almost non-existent, and commercial banks were not equipped to provide long-term industrial finance in any significant manner. They could not handle long-term finance. The government established the Industrial Finance Corporation of India on July 1, 1948, and this became a landmark, an important line milestone in our Indian economy, and IFCI turned out to be the first development financial institution in our country to cater to the long-term finance needs specifically of the industrial sector. Who did the funding for IFCI? IFCI was provided access to the low-cost funds through the central bank's statutory liquidity ratio, which we call it as DSLR, which in turn enabled to provide loans and advances to the corporate borrowers, the larger borrowers, at concessional rates. By the early 1990s, it was recognized that there was a need for greater flexibility to respond to the changing financial system, and it was also felt that IFCI should directly access the capital markets for its funded needs. It is with this objective that a constitution of IFCI was changed in 1993 from a statutory corporation to a company under the Indian Companies Act 1956. Subsequently, the name of the company was also changed to IFCI Limited with effect from October 1999. The facilities and services provided by IFCI are project finance, financial services, corporate advisory and promotional services, and financial assistance as well. What does a project finance do? In project finance, you provide finance in the form of long-term loans in both your rupee as well as in foreign currencies. For what purpose? Number one, expansion. Number two, diversification. You can do something different than what your core business is. Modernization of projects. You can improve technology and improve the efficiency and effectiveness of your product. And anything and everything that relates to the growth of the company. Financial services. It includes your equipment finance, leasing finance, as well as your credit finance. Your installment credit, advances against usance bills, merchant banking, as well as your investment banking as well. Financial assistance is provided in the form of your rupee, foreign currency loans to medium, medium-large, and large-size industrial projects, underwriting or direct subscription to shares and debentures. Your corporate advisory and promotional services include technical consultancy services, upgradation of managerial skills, tourism development, risk capital assistance, research in development of banking, industries, economics, science, and technology as well. Proposal to merge IFCI with a nationalized bank has been discussed sometime before. What were the reasons for such merger? Development banks had come up, specifically the IFCI, during the post-independence period. We had seen the requirements during the post-independence period, and there was a dearth of provider of long-term finance. But now, with the growth of economy, with the growth of banking industry, the scenario has changed. There are lots of providers of short-term as well as the long-term finance. So this was one of the important reason of thinking of a merger, because it was realized that IFCI is not able to fulfill the current level requirements and the competitive requirements as offered by some of the leading long-term finance providers. Development banks have already played its role and now outlived their utility, unable to compete with the aggressive new generation banks, because new generation banks are also into your long-term finance, as well as the larger nationalized banks like your State Bank of India, your Punjab National Bank, your Bank of India, your Bank of Baroda, etc., etc. A merger would breathe new life, as we have already witnessed in two of the instances. One is ICICI, the reverse merger of ICICI with ICICI Bank, as well as the reverse merger of IDBI with the IDBI Bank. We move on to the next development bank, which is the IRBI, the Industrial Reconstruction Bank of India. That's what I had referred to a previous slide, wherein I had said IIBI, which is Industrial Investment Bank of India. It was formerly called the Industrial Investment Bank of India, after which it was changed into the Industrial Reconstruction Bank of India. Let's see more about it in the next slide. IRBI was established initially as Industrial Investment Bank of India in 1971. For what purpose? To rehabilitate the sick industrial companies and assist industries and industrial companies that were in difficulties. It was 100% government-owned financial institution. IIBI was reconstituted as the Industrial Reconstruction Bank of India in 1985 by passing a special act, IRBI Act 1984, passed by the Parliament. The intent was to convert the institution into a full-fledged development financial institution, so some of the limitations were removed because of this act. Principal All India Credit and Reconstruction Agency. It gave great revival to the sick industrial units by providing term loans to the industrial units for most predominant reason of capital expenditure towards modernization, diversification, technological updating, expansion, and bridging the urgent liquidity gaps. It offers a variety of financial products such as project finance, shorter duration non-project asset backed financing, your working capital finance, your short-term finance. It coordinates similar work of other institutions engaged with a similar intent. It also provides term loans to medium and large units. It offers lines of credit facility to small units and provides consultancy and merchant banking services to the sick industries as well. Now we move on to a next very important development bank, the SIDBI, which we call the Small Industries Development Bank of India. SIDBI is currently amongst the top 30 development banks of the world. So it is functioning superbly, getting a rank within the top 30 development banks of the world is not that easy. Let's see more about SIDBI. SIDBI set up in 1990. It was set up as a wholly owned subsidiary of IDBI by the Act of the Parliament, which was the SIDBI Act 1989. It is a principal financial institution for the promotion, financing and development of the micro, small and medium enterprises. That's what we refer to as MSME. The MSME sector has come out or come from the concept of the small scale industrial sector. And for the coordination of the functions of the institution engaged in similar activities. The impact of MSME Act 2006 has been tremendous on this small and micro industries. Later, as a consequence of the SIDBI Amendment Act 2000, 51.1% of its shares were transferred to select public sector banks, the Life Insurance Corporation, the General Insurance Corporation, and other institutions owned or controlled by the Government of India. What is the provision of charter? The Small Industries Development Bank of India Act 1989 envisages SIDBI to be the principal financial institution for the promotion, financing, and development of industry in the small scale sector, more specifically the small, tiny, and the cottage industries, and to coordinate the functions of the institutions engaged in the promotion and financing or developing industry in the small scale sector and for matters connected therewith or incidental thereto. The business domain of SIDBI consists of the micro, small and medium enterprises, the MSMEs, which contribute significantly to the national economy in terms of production, employment and export. The MSME sector is an important pillar of Indian economy as it contributes greatly to the growth of Indian economy. With a vast network of around 3 crore units creating employment of about 7 crore, manufacturing more than 6,000 products, contributing about 45% of the manufacturing output and about 40% of the exports. Look at the tremendous contribution of the MSME. Directly and indirectly, it contributes directly as well as indirectly. In addition, the SIDBI's assistance allows flows to the service sector, including the transport, the healthcare, the tourism sectors, and lots many others. SIDBI has unique products. It designs its product based on the needs of the MSME. Its direct assistance to meet the needs of the small scale sector through project financing, equipment financing, infrastructure financing, and the working capital financing. Indirect assistance is provided through the intermediaries of the bank and state level institutions through refinancing and bill rediscounting. It also provides equity type assistance under national equity funds, resource support to National Small Industries Corporation Bank, state level institutions and other institutions concerned with small industries, and shared capital and resources support to factoring organizations. The Government of India has extended line of credit to SIDBI to enable it to extend loans at more affordable rates to small scale sector. In addition to whatever stated in the last two slides, SIDBI also undertakes a wide range of developmental and promotional activities to improve and enhance the strength and viability of small scale industries, create employment opportunities, and create new avenues for the economic development. There are some SIDBI specialities which no other financial institution can offer. What are they? Its focused attention on the industrial and service sector funding provides adequate capital to meet the growth aspirations of the small industries and the entrepreneurs. It offers attractive rates so that even a small upcoming business can think about taking loans and come up with its own creative ideas. SIDBI has tied up with various international financial institutions like the World Bank, the Japan International Cooperation Agencies, etc., which helps SIDBI to provide subsidies to these upcoming entrepreneurs and small business companies. It also provides loans at concessional rates of interest for cleaner production, especially for the energy saving projects like the windmill project. Lots of alternative power production needs to be done in our country because lots of power usage is already exhausting the financial resources of our country. The alternative resources can help us to save our currency. Easier access to collateral, free finance. You don't have to give any security, so you have easier access to collateral free finance. You can realize the sales proceed quickly. You have lots of modern recovery mechanisms. You have lots of technology platforms which help you to clearly identify the non-performing assets. You can follow up with them, you can track them, and you can monitor them on a day-to-day basis. You have easier access to the government schemes as well, because SIDBI again contributes towards the national policy implementation, and hence whatever comes from the government can be implemented through SIDBI as well for the MSME sector. Now we move on to the next development institution, which is ICICI. We don't see that as of today. Industrial Credit Corporation of India, why we don't see as of today? For a simple reason, the ICICI was merged with ICICI Bank in the year 2002. Why did ICICI merge with the ICICI Bank? Let's see what were the reasons. The merger between the ICICI and the ICICI Bank created the first universal bank in India. Universal bank in India means providing all sorts of products and services. All sorts of products and services means whether it is your retail products or your wholesale products. The entire retail and wholesale banking came under one umbrella because ICICI was specifically providing the wholesale products, whereas ICICI Bank was providing the retail products. So this was a wonderful experiment done by the government of India by merging a wholesale bank with a retail bank, and as such the development functions were also taken over by the ICICI Bank. So merger between ICICI and ICICI Bank created the first universal bank in our country. The economic slowdown, the sluggish progress in the infrastructure development, the languishing project finance activities and high cost of funds were the factors that drove ICICI into the merger, and now it is functioning as a very efficient and effective bank for both your retail as well as the wholesale banking. IDBI, like ICICI Bank, like ICICI Financial Institution, your IDBI was also a development financial institution. It is also not seen nowadays. What's the reason for that? Your IDBI has also been reverse merged with your IDBI Bank, and hence your IDBI has been reincorporated as an IDBI Bank on the similar grounds why ICICI was reverse merged with ICICI Bank. There were some more special purposes for the merger of IDBI with the IDBI Bank. IDBI was one of the oldest development financial institutions of India, but it was plagued with high level of non-performing assets, very low profits, slow growth, inadequate net worth and insufficient income. So it was finding very difficult to survive. Lots of servicing was required to be done for provisioning of the NPAs running for large corporate accounts. IDBI wished to solve this problem of high cost funds through a universal bank route, because they were seeing the success of the ICICI merger with the ICICI Bank and the benefits accrued to a universal bank. Hence, they wanted to go through the universal bank route by merging with the IDBI Bank. It also had ambitions to diversify from its wholesale banking route to the retail banking route, and the best opportunity was to merge within its own entity, which is the IDBI Bank. Conclusions of this development finance institutions: friendly mergers and acquisitions are more common than the hostile takeovers in the financial services sector. The game plan of the organization is to design your future-oriented strategic decisions for long-term prosperity. Strategic management helps achieve the long-term goals in areas of profitability, productivity, competitive position, employee development, employee relations, the technological leadership, and the public responsibility, which is the topmost amongst all. Thank you very much. We have completed chapter 6. We'll move on to chapter 7. Thank you.